Now, Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hello, I'm James McAvoy.
And I'm Dan Radcliffe.
I play Dr. Victor Frankenstein.
And I play Igor in the new film, Victor Frankenstein.
Igor,
you and I shall be at the very heart of a scientific enterprise that will change the world.
We shall create a life out of death.
It's alive.
Do you realize how significant this is?
Oh, I have an inkling.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with the rather horrifying David Cohen. Are you there?
I still can't. I'm thinking of, you know, Harry Potter. And when I hear Daniel Radcliffe's voice, I go back to that movie. Sorry.
The creators of that movie wished that he had the power that was in that wand to actually make that movie make
someone entertaining.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
The question is Frankenstein significant? Why is it still around? Over the past 2 years, there's been, believe it or not, three movies, and this in the past 2 years.
Wow.
Starring or including the Frankenstein monster. The first one, which we can, I don't know, 2014. Did you ever see this? I, Frankenstein?
No.
It was a major release. Made no money. It happened. Hotel Transylvania 2 came out.
I didn't even see one.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's for younger kids, though, so I can understand not seeing it.
Okay.
But it made some money. And then now there's Victor Frankenstein, which was just released. And
starring Harry Potter. Right?
Harry Potter. And it is just, it's Daniel Radcliffe, of course, in case he's listening. He doesn't want to get offended. We don't want to offend anybody, right? The creature's risen from the dead. Why, and why again is this so fascinating?
They can't kill Frankenstein. They can't kill the Frankenstein movie enterprise.
The
either.
Legend just goes nowhere. Mary Shelley created an immortal being, seriously, with this legend. I'm going to just start a smidge before you get into this. Two things that's interesting about this. First of all, it was created 200 years ago in 1818. Mary Shelley wrote this when she was 20 years old. Think about a young lady in
20.
That society, the Victorian, and even before Victorian era, in 1818, creating this kind of a novel, which is pretty interesting. And in so doing, she had to publish it because of the society and maybe people not wanting to read what a woman's writing back then. She anonymously published it in 1818. And 5 years later in France in 1823, she finally was able to put her name attached to this project.
Wow.
Which had already been a hit for 5 years. She finally said...
And no one knew for those 5 years it was written by a woman.
Yeah, there was a clamoring. So who really wrote this? It was written and it was labeled anonymous as the writer.
I wonder if they like could believe it when they actually found out that it was a woman at the time.
It's a good question, you know, like where did that come from? Maybe, I don't know, I've dug through, I do some research, it's not always on Wikipedia or YouTube. I did a little research in the local library in New York City, that the public library, and pulled
really?
Out, yes.
Wow, good
I
for you.
Found a newsreel from 1818 or so that goes through a little of the history showing how this phenomenon, the book itself, the novel, is different from what you see in the movie theaters.
Interesting.
It's very different.
And the newsreel explains it.
It tries to explain it. It dive a little more. It's not always perfect. You know, they didn't make the newsreel with us in mind. But we'll try to see if we can establish that. Let me press the button on that. All right, go ahead.
From the beginning, the monster is rejected by everyone he meets. He realizes upon the moment of his birth that even his own creator cannot stand being around him. Upon seeing his own reflection, even the creature himself realizes he cannot stand himself. His greatest desire is to find love and acceptance, but when that desire is denied, he swears revenge on the creator. Contrary to many film versions, the creature in the novel is very articulate and eloquent in the way of speaking. He can speak quickly, and he can enunciate well. Almost immediately after his creation, he dresses himself, and within 11 months, he can speak and read German and French.
There it is. That voice sounds so familiar. I think he must have made a lot of money back then. I've heard him talk about Hercules and Dracula.
Right, right.
That's amazing. But, I try to pat myself on the back for that research that I do, dig that stuff
I'm
up.
I'm surprised you found that. That's pretty cool.
It is.
And the quality was really good, considering it was 1818 before they were recording voices.
Well,
so
you've got these programs. You could take out all the hiss. You could take out all the stuff. Our engineer did a lot of work with that, I'm telling you.
I didn't even know that, sound recordings were even possible in 1818. But, hey,
Listen,
you know, good work. Good work.
Thank you. There's a lot of stuff that you don't know. There's a lot of conspiracies out there keeping stuff for secret from the general public. You didn't know, but that was created just for this show in mind. And little time travel there. We'll talk about that down the line. But the original themes, not to be too serious, but the original themes of that novel are interesting to me in that you've got creation of life from death, which is always something that's been prevalent in our society. It's a new life form.
We've created life from death?
Well, we've had that thought. You know, there's been a lot of literature trying to create something that's inanimate.
Oh, I thought you meant it actually has happened. I thought I missed something.
Well,
okay.
No, not yet, but we're working on it. if I could find clips like that in the library, maybe I'd roll up my sleeves and
exactly.
Actually. But also the question is really looking at the monster itself. It represents a struggle for life in that someone that is not accepted by society for whatever disability, whatever look, whatever it is that turns people off to this person that they end up calling a monster, really was a person. He didn't ask to be made and reborn, if
True.
You think about it.
Right.
And he wakes up and he scares people left and right. And meanwhile, in the Mary Shelley's version, this is an intelligent being. So an intelligent being stuck inside this environment where he can't even get a word out without people running away or being scared or something like that, I think is something that has been created that we've seen a number of times before, but maybe this is one of the first times it was taken seriously in literature.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's been the Hunchback of Notre Dame, which was created by Victor Hugo in 1831, sometime thereafter. And let's just listen to Hollywood's recreation of that one.
My parents, I never knew. Being not blind, but merely dumb of love, they abandoned me to die on the steps of this building. The books in the library below became my only companions. I read every one of them. Thanks to them, today I have many friends, from Cicero to the Celestine Violet. Never have I seen my ugliness as I do now. When I compare myself to you, I feel very sorry for the poor, unhappy monster that I am. With you, our ray of sunshine, a drop of dew, the song of a bird, while I am something frightful.
A little touching, I think.
Yeah,
that was,
sure.
That was the 79 version, not the 39 version with Charles Laughton. 79 TV movie with Selma Hayek and Mandy
Patinkin.
Yeah. Did you see it?
No.
I would highly recommend it. Hate to say, like, you know, like I'm Mr. Know-It-All, but that was so touching, such a great presentation of that theme. And you could hear through that the emotions, and the guy is a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
He was, of course, in Princess Bride, if you're not familiar, you know.
Sure.
And some other, he was on Broadway, tremendous on
Broadway.
Oh,
yeah,
star.
Yeah, he goes way back.
I got to tell you, it's a very close rendition to the actual book itself written by Victor Hugo and promotes and presents that theme. Let's go take a look at also 1980s Elephant Man, same theme.
I am not an elephant! I am not an animal! I am a human being!
Alright, so I mean that's something we'll leave you with to think about for a moment, and we're going to come on back and explore this theme a little bit more.
I am beautiful in every single way. Yes, words can bring me down. Oh.
Anyone can create a podcast on the web. In fact, there are millions of them online. But if you want quality internet talk radio, just remember this address, TalkZone.com. TalkZone is internet talk radio for planet Earth with talented hosts, great guests, and good conversation. Ready to share your thoughts and ideas with a global audience? Become a TalkZone show host yourself. Learn more at TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio for planet Earth.
TalkZone.com. When you're looking for a job, changing your career, or applying for a promotion, your resume is the first thing seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job. Send your current resume to resumedoctorinc@aol.com for a free online review. You'll receive a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let us make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to resumedoctorinc@aol.com. That's resumedoctorinc@aol.com.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit-selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away 5,000 free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-8649. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity shut off 9 times, but I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-8649. 1-800-959-8649.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Mr. Carl Lindley feels it would be a little unkind to present this picture without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein, a man of science who sought to create a man after his own image without reckoning upon God. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again.
That should be the intro to our show every week. You might be horrified.
I mean, that, think about that, what went on there. That, you don't see it on TV. That was played on every presentation of Frankenstein in 1931 in the theaters. That was the clip played right before the movie started. To warn you, and
so it wasn't even part of the movie?
I guess you would say it's part of the movie where, in other words, before the movie starts. In, like, you know, where you would have Bugs Bunny or whatever was playing.
Right.
After that, it was like played this, and then that music was went right into the movie. So I guess it was part of
the movie.
It's
like a public service message,
like,
right?
Listen,
we're going to scare the bejesus out of you, so.
Yeah, and Carl Limini was the producer. If you recognize the name, you probably don't, but that gentleman mentioned, you know, this producer wants me to tell you, listen, this thing could be horrifying.
Horrifying.
So that was when Hollywood got a hold of Frankenstein, 1931. That's, 113 years after Mary Shelley produced.
But they really didn't have film for a while, so it's not like they waited around for.
No, they did some Broadway type of shows as well.
Give it 100 years, then we'll make the movie. That was an executive decision.
But it's got this great, great clip. I think you'll recognize this for sure.
It's alive. It's alive. Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. Oh, in the name of God. Now I know what it feels like to be God.
That's me every morning when I finally am able to wake up Leo from his deep sleep, my 3-year-old, to get him out to school. He's alive! But that actually was Colin Clive. No name, you probably have no idea.
No, I thought I had that condition, actually, Colin Clive, and they fixed it. But I've never heard the name.
But, you know, that was the beginning of the fascination with Frankenstein, that overacting, if you want to call it that. But
he was excited, Dr. Frank. You know, Victor, come on.
It grabbed the attention of everyone, as did what I think now could be, in my thinking, that the simplicity of the scene that I'm going to play right now, where Boris Karloff is playing the monster, and he is has run away, and he runs into this little girl.
That was scary. I remember that.
Think about this. Listen to this.
Daddy, won't you stay and play with me a little while?
I'm too busy, darling. You stay and play with the kitty, huh?
Bye, Daddy.
Goodbye. Be a good girl now.
Who are you? I'm Maria. Will you play with me? Would you like one of my flowers? You have those, and I'll have these. I can make a boat. See how mine floats? No, you're hurting me! No!
Now, I don't know if it relates it so much on radio if you haven't seen the movie on television, you know.
Right.
But that's the monster, and now this is...
Drowning the little girl.
Right, because they were playing with flowers. The flowers float, and he thought the child, he just, you know, the next extension was, let me have the child float.
Yeah.
And threw into the water, and of course she couldn't swim, and she dies. They cut that scene out of the movie. When you see it now, you will not see that scene. And in fact, when that movie was released, Boris Karloff asked them, the producers, to eliminate that scene from the movie, and they did it then too.
Really?
I should say sometimes they'll see it now. Obviously, we've all seen it, but it's one of the most horrifying scenes because this innocent monster and this innocent child don't know the danger of the water.
Right.
And then he skulks away. But that's a little pathos, a little difference in the character that Mary Shelley created, because Mary Shelley's character would know, of course. Mary Shelley's character was intelligent. So there's where you first go astray a little bit. And then there was The Bride of Frankenstein. They try to bring in this theme of the monster being a little more intelligent, because he starts to talk in Bride of Frankenstein, and he wants to be accepted, and he's met with this.
That was the bride meeting the groom?
Yes, or could very well have been any of us that ask someone to a prom that doesn't have the experience of...
I remember a higher pitched scream than the girl I asked. But...
Would you like to... Before I even get out the words, yeah, we had some problems there. I ended up Dave and I went to the prom together, but not together as dates.
Although in retrospect, probably would have been better.
We sort of were, because we were sort of talking to each other more than
that's true.
Dates. I did end up asking a girl, but I was trying to impress, and while I was dancing in like a loon, remember back in the day, I actually split my pants. So at the end of that night, I was kind of horrified when I...
Horrified.
I should have had that warning before the prom. Because I drove up to her house at the end, and I was all giddy and 16 or 17. And I was, you know, happy. Maybe I'd have a nice goodbye kiss or what have you. And she didn't scream. I almost did when she put her hand out and said, thank you, I had a great night. And
so you got a handshake at the end of the night.
The classic handshake, and off I went.
So you didn't... that doesn't qualify as scoring, I think.
No. I scored a bill to the tailor's because I had one of those tuxedos that I had to repair as a result of my antics. So let's turn to the son of Frankenstein, Basil Rathbone, playing in this scene.
As a man, I could destroy him. But as a scientist, I should do everything in my power to bring him back to conscious life.
By heaven, I think you're a worse fiend than your father.
Where is this monster? I'll stay by your side until you confess. And if you don't, I'll feed you to the villagers.
Now, that's Basil Rathbone, who's, of course, known for being Sherlock Holmes, if you don't know that, right?
Right.
And he was the villain in tons of movies.
And what was that movie? That was
The Son of Frankenstein, the third movie, the last time that Boris Karloff played the monster. Now, I'll say to you that I think he was the best. I think everyone agrees with that. He emoted through his eyes, and in the third movie, he actually spoke a lot.
Well, when you see the black and white pictures of Frankenstein, that's him, right? I mean,
yes.
He's the iconic image of Frankenstein.
Absolutely. And that's because if you listen to and watch those movies, you could see what he's playing in his eyes. He really was a great actor. He was kind of, emoting just this character through what he was doing.
He couldn't speak, right?
Yeah. So. Later on, he started to speak a little bit in this movie, but later on, he became associated with Frankenstein as being the best. But other characters played him. None of them played him that way with that emotion. They all played him as the monster. That's all he was from that. So the last time I think that the Frankenstein was really tried to be true in some ways to the pathos and the theme that Mary Shelley created was this one. This is the first time we see Igor, and played by Dracula himself, Bela Lugosi. Which is the Daniel Radcliffe part in this new incarnation.
Hmm.
Let's go forward now and see the ghost of Frankenstein. We've got Lon Chaney Jr.
This is the fourth now?
This
fourth
is the fourth
movie.
One with Bela Lugosi and Igor again.
There's a curse on our village. The curse of Frankenstein.
Your father was Frankenstein. And your mother was the lightning.
The most dreaded creation of man, the monster of Frankenstein, stalks again in the gripping tale of a monster the tomb cannot engulf, chains cannot hold.
You're going to give him life?
Yes. Not for the purposes that you think, Igor. I'm giving him another brain.
Now, that's the Wolfman who plays, even Hero, but the Wolfman actor Lon Chaney Jr. plays the monster, and Bela Lugosi, Dracula himself, playing Igor again.
Right, you can hear that.
It's
blah,
amazing.
Blah.
Yeah. Let's just see if we can sneak in here, the Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, where Bela Lugosi now plays the monster. Listen to this acting. That's the Wolfman. Summon wherein there is Lugosi playing the monster.
So they got, because they got into a few movies where they would fight, right? They put Frankenstein up against Dracula, Wolfman, and
yeah, the emotions, the pathos, all the thoughts behind this character are gone. We'll be right back. We're not going anywhere. Come on back.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step one, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-961-9485. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-961-9485. Step 3. Congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-961-9485. That's 1-800-961-9485.
This show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need of a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani.
If you want to register your own.com and are looking for a responsible, sustainable, high-quality domain name registrar, then look at Pernick.com. Pernick includes a ton of value-added services like a parking page, Whois, privacy, dynamic DNS, and much more with every domain name registration at no extra cost. Not many companies can say that. So give Pernick.com a try today. Pairnic.com.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
This kind of story seems to go on forever, and I've often wondered if the real reason isn't that it's the oldest kind of story in the world, really, that it has its roots very deep in the legends and the fairy tales and the folklore of every race in the world and has a universal appeal. And I think that's why they go on in one form or another.
That's the Grinch himself talking about Frankenstein. Is that shame? This guy, Boris Koloff, in the 30s and 40s, was as great as anyone playing these monsters. He played a lot of other monsters, and we'll talk about that down the line. But it was almost, I think, I analogize it to a guy that did, like, the silent movies, and you hear about how they couldn't translate because the voice wasn't there, and
right.
The comedies about that and all,
yeah,
you know?
They sound like this.
Right. Yeah, right.
The big hero, and he's got that crazy voice. He's got an odd, unique voice, and perfect for the Grinch, but if the monster Frankenstein spoke like he spoke just now, what would you think?
Yeah, not too scary. Yeah. This is some English guy. Yeah.
You're like, all right, would you like to sit down for some tea?
Hello, I'm the Frankenstein monster.
Which, again, was what Mary Franklin, Mary Shelley's
That's what she was going for.
Yeah. Right? And he had a German accent. He knew French. Whatever. It's crazy. But we're back on to talking about the universal treatment of Frankenstein. It goes on. 1944, there was the House of Frankenstein, where Boris Karloff plays the doctor. Lon Chaney Jr. Is in the mix. John Carradine is now Dracula. He'll later play Frankenstein in the 1970s.
That's David Carradine's father, right?
Yes.
John Carradine.
Yeah, Kung Fu himself. It's amazing, the history of it. Let's listen to a little smidge of that.
Now, this brain, if taken from the man and transplanted into the skull of the dog, would give him the mind of a human being. I could give you a perfect body.
Now, that's... an interesting quote. It sounds like every time you go past one of those gyms, you know, like you want to sign up for gym membership, I could give you a perfect body. Just sign here for $50 a month.
Horrifying.
Should be that guy standing out beside in the mall. You know, you see those gyms in the mall, you walk by, there's these two burly guys and some girl in a bikini, you know, come on in, we can get you the body of a perfect body.
And, yeah, right.
In that case, it was Glenn Strange that played the monster. If you notice, he didn't talk. There was no talking. He just grunts and groans. He was a big, tall galoot that walked around. And that was it. The monster's down to being just a monster that walks around and maybe pays attention to to Dracula and does Dracula's bidding.
I'm just looking up the word galoot. Go ahead.
Completely different than what it was intended. And it goes on. In 1945, David Carradine again plays Dracula. This now is now the House of Dracula as opposed to what we just heard, the House of Frankenstein. And Glenn Strange again is the monster, and Lon Chaney is in it as the Wolfman.
You see, before you were a man who lived for centuries, kept alive by the blood of innocent people. When the full moon rises, I turn into a werewolf with only one desire: to kill.
I tried to perform the miracle of science and failed. My blood is contaminated with the blood of Dracula.
Now, I just want to go quickly right to the Frankenstein 1970 movie, which was actually made in 58. It's not a Universal movie, but it contains Boris Karloff, the last time that he is associated with Frankenstein, other than like a cartoon, which we'll talk about. And he plays Dr. Frankenstein for the first and only time in the movie.
The one, the only, king of monsters, Boris Karloff as Frankenstein, 1970, carrying on the hideous experiments of his infamous ancestor.
In this stone sarcophagus, deep in the bowels of the earth, he buried his creature, his creation.
There he is again, that distinctive voice.
Why was it called Frankenstein 1970 if it was made in 58? Is it supposed to be like the future?
Yes, the future of Frankenstein. And because the Boris Karloff character is now a different doctor, and they wanted to project it a little bit down the line as the descendants of the son of the original Dr. Frankenstein. He's like the grandson. Anyway, so you can see I'm a big fan of Frankenstein.
Almost, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, so I'm I know you put together, we talked about this beforehand, you wanted to quiz me, I know that.
I didn't
see anything else about this, but now since we have a little time, you wanted to give me
I put together a little quiz, knowing what a big fan you are, so we're going to play four or five clips, and it's either going to be a line from the movie or a noise or something like that. When you listen to the clip, tell me what movie it's from, okay? So...
Okay.
Let's start with...
And I think all of these... I think because we're on the Boris Karloff shtick.
Yes.
So I think in some way, we talked about this previously, you're going to keep it to the theme that this is a Boris Karloff-related show, whatever movie, whatever you're playing for me here.
Yes.
But that's as far as it goes. I prepared a little bit in my mind, but that's it. I don't know what you've thrown up here, so let's see what we've got.
You stay. We belong dead.
Yeah, that's you can tell. That's the Bride of Frankenstein. That's the first time.
You can tell.
Well,
how can you tell?
Voice. You can hear Boris Karloff and that that was his presentation of Frankenstein himself right before he and the Dr. Frankenstein. Remember, Frankenstein is really the name of the doctor, right? This is the monster. So he plays the monster. His doctor, his creator, Victor Frankenstein, he's going to take him down at the end of the movie because his bride, which he asked him to create for him, rejected him.
Well, Doug, actually, you're wrong. No, you're right. You're right. So let's play the next one. Let's see how you do.
You will not remember what I show you now, and yet I shall awaken memories of love and crime and death.
Yeah, that voice, huh?
So this does not, as you were saying before, does not have to do necessarily with the Frankenstein monster.
Right. That's a struggle. Can you play that one again, Mike? Just a little bit?
You will not remember what I show you now, and yet I shall awaken memories of love and crime and death.
Yeah, he's not Victor Frankenstein there, but he's in charge. I would say that's got to be the Mummy from the year after Frankenstein, where he doesn't play the Mummy, but he plays this character that brings the Mummy to life.
You are correct.
Ah.
You are correct.
All right, good. Let's...
All right, next one. Let's take a gander at this.
This guy's pretty sick.
That's Abbott Costello.
Not really, not me.
That's Abbott Costello for sure,
right.
But you know what? I spoke over it. Try it one more time. Let me just...
This guy's plenty sick. It's no, Freddy, not me.
Freddy. It's Abbott Costello. The only time Costello was Freddy is in... And Boris Karloff did two Abbott Costello movies. So it's,
everyone knows that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is Abbott Costello meet the killer, for sure. Because I'll tell you, he's not... It's the only time he was Freddy.
You are correct. It's Abbott and Costello.
Did you know, by the way,
killer.
That Boris Karloff walked off of that set? He was so upset at that movie and the way his character was presented that he didn't like his role. It had not enough substance to it.
Really?
Yeah.
So did he? But he finished the movie.
He finished it, and he actually came back for another one. Anyway,
so he wasn't that upset.
Right.
Okay. How about this?
I beg your pardon. Have you seen a monster around here?
No.
Oh, I see. You can't talk with that heavy mask on. Well, here, I'll help you take it off. You see, we're looking for him for a purpose. Now, there's a reason for. Ah!
Yeah, I can go right to that. That's the other one we're talking about. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde meet... Abigail Stella meet Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Correct.
And the original Mr.
Correct.
Hyde, Dr. Jekyll was...
All right, good. This is getting boring. Next clip. Come on, miss one.
But this sound wasn't sad.
Of course, that's the Grinch. What? What's after that?
Well, what's the name of it, though?
Grinch is Stole Christmas.
Okay.
One small vial. Now to the final step. The infusion of energy.
There he is one more time as Baron Frankenstein himself. That's the last Frankenstein role that was Rankin and Bass, the same guys that did.
And the name of the movie is?
I'm delaying Mad Monster Party.
Yes.
We'll be back.
Yes.
Continue. And everything old is new again. Can you believe that?
I don't. But I do.
For P150, P150GA, P150LK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet by calling now. 1-800-783-2963. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 300 procedures. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes, and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-783-2963. That's 1-800-783-2963. 1-800-783-2963.
Think you're fat? You might just be bloated. Find out by calling now for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-943-6794.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. So just think how much better you'll look and feel. Think you might be bloated? Call now for a free trial of Nubiotics and see how much flatter it makes your belly. You might be surprised. But hurry, call now for details while these free trials last. 1-800-943-6794. That's 1-800-943-6794. 1-800-943-6794.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Count Dracula sleeps in this coffin, but rises every night at sunset. Dracula can change himself at will into a vampire bat, flying about the countryside.
Bat! Bat!
Yes, master.
Give me some Dracula.
There you go, and you think that I am the expert in all things Frankenstein, don't you?
I do.
All right. Well, I will admit that I have a fascination for that genre, but I'm more of a, I'm not even going to say expert, but aficionado of Abbott Costello. And now we're able to actually, we've got Abbott Costello references, a little less than the Star Trek references, but we've had quite a few over the last year and a half, 2 years.
By the way, we only have 10 minutes left for you to get in a Star Trek reference here, and yes. I don't say how you're going to do it.
I just did. There it is.
We just spoke about it. That doesn't count. Just saying Star Trek doesn't.
Well, I'm saying we're using you have more of a Star Trek than Abbott Costello. Listen, that was, goes back on track, was from 1948, Abbott Costello Meets Frankenstein. In the late 40s, Universal Pictures, which was the only one that presented any of these movies except for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which was MGM, and Abbott Costello, both had run their, basically run their course. Abbott Costello a little less, but they were both on the way down. And so, Abbott Costello saved Universal Studios in the early 40s and all those movies they made that you're familiar with. But at this point in time, 48, they took a chance of combining their talents with the monsters of the Universal Universe. And it revitalized their career as well as the monsters. But the monsters changed. The monsters now became tongue-in-cheek, try to be funny, and you know, it turned to comedy. And it worked for a while for them. They Abbott Costello met like every monster thereafter, and they made some good money doing that. So that's where that comes from. Let's take a listen to Costello imitating now Dracula for the Frankenstein monster, if that makes sense.
Bat. Bat.
Yes, master.
Give me some Dracula.
Yeah, that's Glenn Strange again playing the Frankenstein monster.
Right.
No longer intelligent or even trying to be. No longer any feeling of like, hey, I'm a soul that's in this body that was created.
It's more robotic.
It's robotic. He's just, so it's not really, it's kind of lost its zest, I think. Dracula continued, Dracula even to this day, or vampires continued to this day pretty strong in a serious mode with all those shows, True Blood and whatever else.
Right.
Right? So, but you've got, Frankenstein's really not serious anymore, even though this new movie, they tried it. It's not working. So let's go down the path and see what they did with Frankenstein.
Starring Boris Karloff and
Dracula.
Frankenstein.
Your werewolf.
The Hunchback.
The Mummy.
Dr. Jekyll.
And the Invisible Man.
Also starring Phyllis Diller as the hostess with the least.
I think Phyllis Diller might be the scariest of all of them, actually. If you
look at it, he just changes his tone. He's got these all dark, serious, and funny girl, Phyllis Diller.
Who, if you don't know, back in the 60s was a huge
comedian.
I think she was huge.
Yes.
Comedian. Her and
definitely.
Dodie Fields, was that her name?
Toadie
Fields.
Yep.
The two of them were like the toast of the town. And then Joan Rivers to the end of the 60s, you know?
Right.
But she's still around, believe it or not. I've seen some interviews with her.
Yep, she's still kicking.
So she carried the day with the Mad Monster Party. If you haven't seen that, I mean, it's a kick if you have kids and you want to young
Can you
children.
Actually still see that?
You can still see it. It's on pay-per-views or it's on certainly on DVDs everywhere. It's a pretty good little show. It certainly is exactly kind of what they do in Hotel Transylvania.
Ah,
you know,
okay.
The kind of Hotel Transylvania's derivative
right.
of that, that's for sure. And then we go to the Munsters in the 60s. TV show. Remember this one? Got him.
Of course. Seriously?
Here he is, my son-in-law, the 150-year-old teenage punk.
I just can't fight a chick. I got to get out there and drag it with the gases. Otherwise, doll, I might blow by cool.
Why don't you try and hit it over the center field fence?
Gotcha.
I never saw anything like it.
I don't know whether to sign him with the Dodgers or send him to Vietnam.
There you go, the Munsters, we all know that. We did, you know, sitcoms, right? A show, what's the best sitcom of all time?
Right.
It was in there.
It was in the mix.
And I think it was also in for, he did a show on theme songs and TV shows, comedy.
It was in the mix for that, too.
And it was going on for, I think, 3 years, maybe two even. But
it's amazing how they got the Dodgers and Vietnam into that that, wow. I didn't know Vietnam could be funny.
Right, exactly. It was, it was, if you haven't seen it, it's basically the Frankenstein monster with his wife, the wife, Bride of Frankenstein, and then you've got the Wolfman as the little kid, and they get Dracula.
But I thought the wife was more, that was Dracula's daughter, right? Because yeah, Grandpa was her dad or grandfather, I think.
Right, but Grandpa, you know, created her. It came out in one of those episodes.
Did it? Yeah, interesting. We should do a show on the monsters. Seems like there's a lot.
I'd love to, but they're all gone. We could get actually the kid that played
Butch Patrick.
Yeah, okay, that wouldn't be a bad call.
Let's get him.
It was so much fun, that show. So now we're talking about Frankenstein as a goof.
As a goof.
But it was very successful, if not, I don't know how to say this. It was successful, but not as successful as they wanted to, because it didn't last a long time, but it's still remembered to this day. Even like for scenes like this, it's just...
There he is, my son-in-law, the 150-year-old teenage punk.
I just can't fight a chick. got to get out there and drag it with the gases. Otherwise, glow by cool.
Go beyond that. Let's see.
It's good to hear
I'm
again.
I'm going to build us a car that I'm going to take to the drag races next Saturday, and that I personally will win back our car from this lead-foot bailer by beating him at his own game.
Now, who's better in that show? Is it Grandpa or Herman Munster? You tell me.
Grandpa was great, Al Lewis.
He was tremendous, that guy.
It was great. I was he opened a restaurant called Grandpa's in Greenwich Village, and it used to be right around the corner from where I lived, and I'd walk by there, and it didn't get a lot of business, but every day I walked by, there's Al Lewis, Grandpa, sitting in the restaurant by the window waving at people.
He was a maid of D. I've seen videos on YouTube, believe it or not, of him welcoming people and all of that.
Yeah.
With a cigar in his mouth, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
A lit cigar.
Big college basketball scout.
Yes. Yeah. He was a pretty intelligent guy. He was on Vaudeville, and he's got some words of wisdom. Believe it or not, he was in his restaurant, and he was interviewed, and here's a little piece of it.
You find something, not that you want to do. That's daydreaming. The need has to be as strong as a junkie's. See, a junkie doesn't want the drug. He needs it. Big difference. One thing is a kid wants a bicycle, this lady wants a mink coat, this guy wants a Jaguar, he wants a Mercedes-Benz. Those are daydreamers. You have to need it. That's the strength, the adrenaline. Well, my need is to perform. I'm a junkie in that sense. That's why I do what I do.
I mean, he has some presentation, but it's so simple. You hear it a million times, but those words, I mean, they are, I don't know, does it resonate?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's tremendous. Like, he's trying to, you know, you always hear these platitudes. In America, you do anything you want. Yes, you can. But you've got to have some modicum of talent. But beyond that, what he's saying is, you got to have the drive that you need to do this at all costs.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not going to happen, really. We heard Eddie Murphy in the past talk about that, where, you know, he started off and people would say to him, I want to do this, but I'm going to have something else to fall back on. And he said, no, I didn't have a safety net, because if I had a safety net, I'd use it.
You'd fall back on it.
Right.
Right. Very smart. I remember him when the Munsters were first on TBS, when TBS was new, and he'd do the voiceover. For TBS, remember that?
Yes.
Superstation. TBS.
Oh, we may have him back on. It sounds like we might be able to resurrect Al Lewis and bring him to our Tonight Show called Never Too Late. I don't know. It sounded like there was a germ of an accent there you had.
Oh, yeah. No. I've been mistaken for Grandpa many times.
Not talking about looks.
I've always wanted a ham radio set. And now that I've got one, I'm going to listen in on distress signals and notify the authorities and prevent disasters and noble things like that.
There's Herman himself talking about radio and just that theme of what Al Lewis was talking about. We didn't start the show till later in life. I would have loved to have done it earlier, but this is something that I feel akin to Al Lewis in some way, that doing the show is so much fun that I need to do. I need to perform.
Yeah.
So we'll be back talking about Young Frankenstein and the more developments in Frankenstein as we go along.
On the Superstation.
Everything old is new again.
If you could choose any school from which to earn your college degree and be on your way to a better life, would you choose a school the Wall Street Journal recognized for producing some of the best qualified graduates, one the Princeton Review ranked as a leader in undergraduate education, and one U.S. News and World Report named number one in the nation for innovation ahead of both MIT and Stanford? Discover why Arizona State University is a clear choice for your future. In addition, ASU Online offers over 100 graduate and undergraduate programs you can take 100% online and on your schedule. You'll receive the exact same curriculum, degree, and prestigious faculty as our on-campus students. For information, call 1-800-595-9736. U.S. News & World Report also ranked ASU in the top 10 best places to earn an online degree. So get started today and learn to thrive with Arizona State University online. Call today at 1-800-595-9736. That's 1-800-595-9736.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-941-9483. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day at-home trial. 1-800-941-9483. That's 1-800-941-9483.